A fiscal punishment intended to cripple Russia's international financial transactions, a Western show of unity against the country's military assault on Ukraine.
SWIFT is the world's dominant global interbank payment system. Cutting banks off will stop them from conducting most of their financial transactions worldwide and effectively block Russian exports and imports.
Ukraine had repeatedly called on its Western allies to sanction Russia before its forces reached the capital. Friday's announcement intends to limit Russia's ability to finance the war. SWIFT is a secure messaging system that's used for trillions of dollars worth of transactions and is integral to the global economy. Excluding some Russian banks from that will hit their ability to trade internationally. Moscow's central bank has $600 billion of reserves and would also be affected. While it's the biggest move yet by Western powers against the Kremlin, there has been some reluctance from countries like Germany that heavily rely on Russia for oil and gas imports.
This idea that this is in some way going to be just a tax on Russia is misplaced, right? Trade is mutually beneficial, especially trade in the type of commodities that the world and Europe in particular buys from Russia.
Money transfer systems other than SWIFT are in place but aren't as efficient. When Iran was blocked in 2014, it lost 30% of its foreign trade. It's still not clear when one of the most powerful financial penalties to be imposed on Russian financial institutions will be implemented, and Russia is yet to respond. Sara Khairat, Al Jazeera.
All right, we're going to live now to Dnipro, where Hoda Abdelhamid is live for us with the latest on what's happening there. Hoda.
Well, we're actually in a shelter at the moment because the air siren went off, and this is the first time it goes off here in Dnipro since this war started. People also anyone who was nearby just came in. We're actually in the basement of a restaurant, not able to show you the rest of the people because actually they don't want to be filmed. They're very worried. Everybody's on their smartphone trying to figure out what's happening. We don't know exactly what's happening. There is a rumor of a Russian jet.
All right. Looks like we've lost Hoda there. Apologies for that. Very fluid situation there in Ukraine right now. Much more to come when we... Oh, I understand. I'm just being told we do have Hoda back now. Hoda, can you hear me? OK, apparently not. It does appear to be we've lost her. We will come back with much more still ahead on Al Jazeera.
We will stop Putin from using his war chest.
Western allies agreed to cut some Russian banks from the SWIFT financial system.
We are scared. We are alone with our daughter. We don't have a defender.
We talked to some of the Ukrainian families left divided by the war. Plus, in sport, the Czech Republic becomes the latest international football team to refuse to play against Russia. Okay, we're going to dispense with that break because, well, we're going to go now to Russian President Vladimir Putin, who is speaking now from Moscow.
Western countries are taking not only unfriendly actions towards our country in economics, the sanctions that everyone knows about, but top officials of the leading NATO countries, they are saying the aggressive stuff towards our country. That's why I command the Minister of Defense and a Chief of Staff to transfer our nuclear deterrence forces on high alert.
All right. Just been hearing that from the Russian President, Vladimir Putin, there with his military leaders beside him. More reaction on that to come, we expect. But right now, we're going to go to Niko Vorobyov. He is a Russian journalist and joins us live from St. Petersburg. Thanks very much for being with us. So I just want to ask you, just broadly speaking, what's your assessment of what's been happening in Ukraine over the past couple of days and where you see all of this going?
I mean, obviously, I can't speak for the whole Russian population, but everyone I know, or most people I know, were in shock because we really weren't expecting this. Because up until last week, the media, the state-owned media, they were still assuring us, all the talking heads were still assuring us that there wouldn't be a war. Up until the bombs started dropping on Kiev, we pretty much believed, we didn't think it was going to happen. So a lot of people are quite shocked that they know what's happening. We've also been hit with not only the sanctions, but also Facebook and Twitter have been shut down in Russia. You have to use a VPN to get past there now. We've been cut off from SWIFT. A lot of people can't... they were in restaurants, for example, and they found themselves that they couldn't pay. But a lot of people also prepared in advance. They started taking out cash already in January. They're ready for the long haul.
Okay, Niko, thanks very much for that. We appreciate it. I wonder if you could stay with us for now, because right now we're going to go back to... we were hoping to go back to the Russian president. But it appears we don't. So let's bring up these live pictures that we're getting right now of St. Petersburg. We showed this to you earlier, a protest that was taking place there against the war. And Niko, you're speaking to us from there, of course. Quite a number of protesters there who are, I guess, as surprised as you are about what's unfolded over the last 4 days and are not happy about it at all. It looked quite chaotic there. We're seeing quite a large number of security people there as well. Just talk to us about what your feelings are the longer this conflict goes on, and the sentiment felt by a lot of Russians like yourself that the Ukrainians are essentially brothers of Russians.
Yeah, and I mean, even President Putin, he said as much himself. He's written a very long essay about it last year. So it kind of, I lived in Britain as well, right? And kind of when Britain or America, obviously I'm against those wars as well, but like when Britain and America go to war, it's usually somewhere, you know, thousands of miles away. Whereas here, we're literally fighting our neighbors and our sometimes even our relatives, because a lot of Russians, a lot of family in Russia and the other way around. So it came as a shock.
What do you think is the goal of President Putin here? Is he trying to, because leading up to this, many people assumed that this was just a dispute over eastern Ukraine, and that's where that it wouldn't go, as any sort of conflict wouldn't go much further than that. But clearly, we're seeing a lot more of that now. That the Russian forces are in several cities and have bombed several cities and so on. What do you think is the end game? Is he trying to encircle the capital and perhaps replace the government there with one that is more compliant to him? What do you think?
That's the thing. I'm quite confused about that myself, because the stated end of the operation, right? The way it's being sold to us right now is it's a peacekeeping operation to the Donbass, so the rebel held areas of eastern Ukraine, where the people genuinely have been living in a kind of state of siege or semi siege for the past 8 years. So that much is true. But then what I didn't really understand what the objective for taking Kiev. But like, let's say if we occupy Kiev and we install a puppet government, I mean, I don't know how is that worth the losses that we take on the world stage, the losses to our economy, the loss in terms of manpower. I mean, there's a lot of propaganda out there from the Ukrainian side, maybe, The Russian side isn't releasing the death statistics, how many soldiers have died, but it's probably quite a few, and this is only beginning. So even if we manage to occupy Kiev, right, it's going to install a puppet regime. There's going to be a vicious, like a guerrilla war phase. The Ukrainians aren't going to give up that easily. They're going to get weapons from the West. They're going to have volunteers from Poland coming in. So I'm not sure what the long-term plan is. I could follow the logic of trying to bully Ukraine into staying out of NATO, but I don't really understand what total war it hopes to achieve.
Yeah, I just want to pick up on the, what you said there about the Russian authorities are not releasing statistics of number of Russians who've died. But the point was made before this conflict that if it does become something larger than clashes in eastern Ukraine, and there's more violence and more Russian lives are lost, this is not something that they can continue to hide from the Russian people, is it? As more Russian soldiers are killed in the conflict there, the longer this goes on.
Exactly, and also. But from what I was saying earlier, like when Britain and America goes to war, it's usually somewhere far away. So we still have like a lot. We still have a lot of friends and family in Ukraine who are telling us a different version from what we might hear in the state media. So I think it's going to be really hard to hide what's going on compared to somewhere like Syria, where it's kind of an information black hole.
Good to talk to you, Niko Vorobyov, there from St. Petersburg. Appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.